Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, you have made a phenomenal choice to tune into this podcast. Today, you are listening to One Fall with Jordan McClain. That would make me your host, Jordan McClain. I'm not going to hold y'all but for a pair of seconds, so let's get straight into the show. All right, kids, here we are. Before we get off into this segment, before I give out my advice that I'm going to be giving out, I would like to preface it by saying that this is my show. One Fall is my podcast. If you do not agree with something that I say on my podcast, that is fair and that is fine with me. Don't come for me for what I have to say and for my opinions. If you would like to oppose something that I said, you have the right. And I encourage you to go to anchor.fm, start your own podcast, and say whatever in the world it is that you want to say on your show. This is my show. I'm going to say what I want to say. Now, what I want to say is there is no reason, and I'm talking to a very specific group of people, there is no reason why we cannot come together to make all of us better. For those who don't know, I am in the process of starting my own wrestling promotion, Our Culture Pro Wrestling, right here in Alabama. And when I tell y'all that the process has been staggering and it's been very sobering at the same time, because in going through and creating these personal relationships with people, right? You start learning who these people really are. You start looking at them as people, as someone who, I mean, I guess this can be the case for all of us. We all began in this business as fans, otherwise we wouldn't be in the business, but as someone who is not that far removed from being a fan, you kind of get those rose-colored glasses, right? When you're looking at these wrestlers and at these workers, you kind of get those rose-colored glasses and you think the world of these people. But when you really get down to it and you really start getting to know them and watching how they tick and learning how they move in certain situations, when you yourself get in the business and realize that sometimes you have to move a little different in this business, it becomes abundantly clear that there are a lot of selfish people in this business. And I know some people are going to hear me say that and be like, Jordan, that's any business, that's any industry. But this is one of the few industries in the entertainment world that depends on other people, right? So when you get to a point where you're doing something such as I am, when you're trying to start your own wrestling promotion, mind you, I'm talking about start it from the ground up by yourself. Okay. I'm not talking about you and three friends decided y'all was going to pull y'all money together and do this because it's fun and you need something to do. I'm talking about building something major. I'm talking about building the next big thing in professional wrestling. When you're trying to do that, you become really particular about the energy that's around you. And you become really hyper-focused on only wanting positivity around you. Now, mind you, I've said from the beginning, Our Culture Pro Wrestling is not made for me. I'm not doing this so I can be a star. I'm not doing this so I can be in front of the camera. I'm not one of them people who's going to get trained and then decide to make myself the champion of my promotion. I'm not one of them people who feels the need to always be in front of the camera and always put myself over before I put talent over. I've said from the very beginning that Our Culture Pro Wrestling is about the talent. I want a promotion and I want a space where people can come, be themselves, really get their creativity out, and really get their shine on. What I'm learning is that a lot of people are willing to do that, but only for themselves. They're only willing to do something if they are the beneficiary of whatever that thing is. Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying they're only willing to do something if they benefit from it. That, of course, why would you go into a business situation or any kind of situation where you don't reap some sort of benefit? I'm talking about there are people who I was really good with, and I'm still good with them. It ain't no heat. I'm not mad at nobody. But there are people who will only do things if they get the biggest cut of the pie. That ain't how I operate. That's not how I've operated since I got in this business as one half of the Marking Out Boys. That's never been my deal. So to start dealing with people like that and to see that, you know, there are other people who can do it and who are doing it. you know, there was this big show recently, this big intrastate show between Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee. They all came together and put on Southeast First. I have yet to see that full show, but I've heard nothing but rave reviews about it. I've heard nothing but good things about the fact that these shows, who the promoters and the bookers may not always get along, but they saw the benefit of coming together. They saw the benefit of working together to build something special. And this is not to call anybody out, but I noticed I feel, in my very humble opinion, I feel that a lot of people in the Southeast were left out of that show. And that's where I'm going to leave that. So then that comes back to, okay, well, you know, I've been having a conversation with one of my best friends, and I've been telling him, you know, I believe that we can do something like that. I believe that we can pull ourselves together and put on a ridiculously amazing show, because there's so much talent out here. You feel me? There's so much talent that is underutilized, overlooked, and my goal has always been to put those people in a position where they can get those looks, whether it be from those major indie shows or the major league promotions, the WWEs, AEWs, Impacts, GCW. I think Ring of Honor is going to come back at some point. So my goal is to give people the platform. But I'm realizing that even if you give them the platform, a lot of people are too selfish and their egos are much too big to actually accept the platform. There is no reason, I'm going to say this again, there is no reason why we cannot come together and build something amazing. I'm not saying we have to do it under me. It can be done anywhere by anyone. I'm just saying it's crazy to me that the egos can't be put aside for the greater good. The egos can't be put aside so that we can showcase the talent that we have. The egos can't be put aside if we're going to keep it 100% funky right now. Why can't the egos be put aside when it's money on the table? It's so much money sitting on the table. But it's too many egos to say, let's work together and split this money. Nah, this dude over here wants this amount, but then that girl over there wants that amount, and this tag team wants this amount, because they all believe that they are all better than each other, and that should not be the case. I'm sorry. I know that this is a very competitive sport, but I'm telling y'all, there should not be this many egos running wild in this business like that. That's why there's so many talented people who are simply not getting where they should be, where they could be, because there's too many egos out here. You got to check that ego, man. Whoever is listening to this, because I know some of y'all are going to be listening to this, and I know that some of y'all are going to feel that I am talking about you. I am. You got to check that ego. And you got to understand that there is a bigger picture at play here. There is something, there is an opportunity. Again, I'm not, fuck me, damn me. I'm not putting me on that pedestal. There is an opportunity right now in independent wrestling, especially independent wrestling in the Southeast, for a major shift. And I feel like we're blowing it, y'all. I feel like the opportunity is passing us by simply because a lot of people can't put their egos aside and say, we're going to do this. We're going to make this work. If we cannot pull this thing together and really do something major for all of us, we're going to miss this opportunity. And I fear that by the time the next opportunity rolls around, most, if not all of us, will be done with this business. So let's start checking our egos and let's start understanding that there is money on the table. As Trixie said in Players Club, it's money upstairs. Let's get to this, man. Stop playing. Check your ego at the door and let's make magic. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen, with our discussion question of the week. Each week, I'll take a topic based on pro wrestling and give you my take, simple as that. It can be anything from my views on a specific moment, my thoughts on an old pay-per-view, or, like today's topic, a list of my favorites. If you want to hear me wax poetic about anything, within reason, because y'all be tripping, be sure to hit me up on social media at Mr. Jordan McClain and let me know what your topic is. This week's topic is my favorite gimmicks of all time. Now, when it came down to figuring out my top five, I'll admit that it was a struggle. And honestly, it might change from day to day. I'm not even going to lie to you. I've been watching wrestling for 20-something years now, and I've seen a whole lot of gimmicks. Some good, some bad in general, but I liked, some great in general, but I didn't like. So what I went with was the gimmicks that really impacted me and really kept my attention, even in the moments where I don't like wrestling that much. I could not fit everyone I wanted to. So that's why I just chose five. But bear in mind, even as of this year, there are some gimmicks that I may say is my favorite gimmick going in professional wrestling. So I just, listen, bear that in mind when I tell you the five gimmicks that I absolutely love, my five favorite of all time today. No particular order. Here we go. First up, The Undertaker, specifically American Badass Undertaker. All versions of Taker were great, and I'm going to admit that. Ministry of Darkness Taker is really close to being my favorite Taker. I've had conversations where that is who I said was my favorite gimmick of all time, but American Badass Taker stuck out the most for me because it was such a departure from the gimmick that we had all already grown used to. Like, Shawty, you could not tell me that you didn't get hype when Rolling by Limp Bizkit came on during SmackDown. You can't tell me that you didn't get hype. For real. Like, in the words of good old JR, you knew that business was about to pick up when you heard Rolling come on your TV. His entire look, the just overall badassery of the gimmick, it's I'm telling y'all, it's completely etched in my brain for all of eternity. Number two, Sting. Again, I've said it a number of times. I was a WCW kid. I started watching wrestling in 1998 with WCW. So Sting was one of the first wrestlers that I remember watching and really falling in love with. And one of the first wrestlers who just made me love wrestling altogether. It's so funny because as an adult, I've been going back and watching old WCW. Specifically, I started watching Nitro from the very beginning. And I could see how Sting has always been just in general, just generally loved in this business. I could absolutely see how. But as a kid, Crow Sting was the man. For me, hell, I had a bottle opener in elementary school. Mind you, a bottle opener. What am I going to do with a bottle opener in elementary school? But I had a bottle opener in elementary school for the longest time with NWO Wolfpack Sting on it. Like, that's how much I love Sting. The bat, the whole mystique surrounding the character. I loved every single thing about Sting when I was a kid. He was on par with Taker in the fact that when he showed up, you knew shit was about to go down. You knew it was about to get rowdy when Sting came out. You know, there's a reason why so many people for so many years wanted that Sting versus Taker match, but especially in the late 90s and early 2000s. And it's because they had two of the most interesting gimmicks ever in the history of professional wrestling. So number three, the APA, the Acolytes Protection Agency. Y'all already know what it is. Two big motherfuckers doing big motherfucking shit. Y'all already know what time it is with me. Y'all know that this team was right up my alley. First, Ron Simmons and Bradshaw were two heavy hitters that loved to have fun, but they were about their business when it came to being in the ring. And I'm specifically, the APA that I'm specifically talking about is, you know, the backstage drinking beer, smoking cigars, playing poker. They got an office door with no office. That APA. That's the APA that I talk about when I say the APA is one of my favorite gimmicks of all time. But I genuinely love those guys, man. Ron Simmons is, I think, the world of Ron Simmons as a performer. And I pray to God that I'm going to meet him someday. You know, they were just straight up badasses. If I always say it like this when it comes to APA. If unfuckwittable was a gimmick, it would be the APA. The clothesline from hell looked devastating every single time. Ron Simmons, when he hit that Dominator, every single time looked crazy. And I will say something else in particular about Ron Simmons. I say to this day that Ron Simmons has the best version of my favorite wrestling move, which is the Spine Buster. I think his version is absolutely perfect. It shows power and strength. It's quick. It ain't nothing crazy. It's just, boom. It's just a move. How do you not love the APA? I don't know how people don't love the APA. I just simply don't. So moving on. Number four. Mark Henry, specifically the Hall of Pain Mark Henry. You know, when the Hall of Pain came around, he had been in the business for a number of years up to that point. I think Mark Henry, when the Hall of Pain came around, had been, that was what, 2011, 2012, something like that. And Mark Henry been in the business since the mid-90s. So he had been around for a long time. Before that gimmick, which I personally think is his best gimmick of all time, he had been around for a number of years when that came about. So the thing of it was, like, a lot of people had maybe been thinking, especially at the time, given that he had been in the business for so long, that Mark Henry would never become a world champion. But, you know, the thing that I love about the Hall of Pain gimmick is that that felt like the version of Mark Henry that we should have always had. You know what I mean? Like, that felt like he was really in his bag. He was really in his final form. And to think that his best gimmick, to think that his best gimmick of his entire career, from 96 up to what he retired in, what officially retired in like 2018, his best gimmick came from a prank. That's insane to think about. Like, his genuine reaction to a prank that was played on him ended up becoming the best thing that ever happened to him. And that's honestly, that's kind of a testament that, you know, sometimes the best gimmicks are just you. You know what I'm saying? His best gimmick came from his reaction to someone playing a joke on him. I mean, not just someone. It was Vince McMahon, according to him. But, you know, his best gimmick came from him. And in this moment, he was dominant. He was passionate. He was doing some of his best mic work, some of his best in-ring work. If I remember correctly, this was around the time of him versus like Randy Orton and whatnot. So, and Randy Orton, I think the world of him as well. Hall of Pain Mark Henry was something else. I was an adult, but if it was in 2011, I was like 18 when this gimmick came around. But this was one of the first gimmicks that I remember as an adult that got me just as hype as I would get during my childhood when I would see my favorite wrestlers. This was straight up, just hands down, this was straight up Mark Henry's best version of himself. How that man did not become a multi-time world champion, like, I looked it up. That was his only title run during that time. And that's insane to me because that gimmick is so perfect. I don't know how Mark Henry in professional wrestling is not more decorated than what he is. He probably don't give a shit, but you know, that me, the fan in me, I don't know how Mark Henry does not have a ton of accolades, especially after 2011, considering that he continued to wrestle for how many ever years. Now finally we're going to go to number five, and number five for me is China. I've spoken at length about China on a number of occasions, and it's because I will say this with all confidence in the world. China was my favorite wrestler when I was a kid. You know, I used to have all these wrestling toys. And the day I got China, I was so happy. And I kept that wrestling toy for so long. I kept my China wrestling toy for so long. The other ones would break and whatever. I didn't really care. My China was to be protected. That's how much I loved China. I was glued to the TV when China came on, whether she was with DX or whether the one that I really remember, the version of China that I remember vividly, was her run with Eddie Guerrero. That's the China that I remember very vividly. But you know, China was unlike anything that wrestling had ever seen before. You know what I mean? She, like, not just women's wrestling, but wrestling as a whole. China was unlike anything that we had ever seen before. You know, even going back to her debut when she attacked Marlena during Triple H's feud with Goldust at the time. It's just nuts to look at her and look over her career and see everything that she accomplished. I've laid it out a few times. As a matter of fact, there's, I believe, an episode of One Fall from last year where I talked about China just two-time Intercontinental Champion, the first woman to hold a man's title in professional wrestling, a women's champion, first woman to be in the Royal Rumble, and she done that twice. Like, all the accolades that China had, I'm going to shut up because y'all know I can go on and on about China, but yeah, China was my favorite wrestler as a child. Absolutely 100%. The Ninth Wonder of the World was one of my top gimmicks of all time. And I will close this segment out by saying this. And I'm willing to go to bat. I am willing to die on this hill. So call it a hot take or whatever you want, but I am absolutely willing to die on this hill. China, women's wrestling as a whole in 2022 would not be what it is on any level without China. China did not kick the door in. China tore the house down. Like, and there were plenty of other phenomenal female wrestlers at the time. Ivory, Jacqueline, Trish was over like Rover. Lita was over like Rover. Jazz, y'all know I love Jazz and think the world of Jazz. But I genuinely believe that women's wrestling, as it is today, as it has been for the past, I don't know, 20-something years, for at least the past 20 years, I'll say, women's wrestling would not be what it is, and women would not be at the forefront of so much wrestling without China. So, say what you want about her, but I don't think women's wrestling, I don't think wrestling period would be what it is without China's career. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Argue with your mama. And now we move on to our match review of the week, the segment where I review a wrestling match. Pretty straightforward, right? This week, I'm reviewing Skrilla the Great versus AC Mack from IWE Pro Wrestling. This match can be found on Skrilla's YouTube page. If you are a wrestler and you'd like for me to review your match on the podcast, make sure you hit up my social media at Mr. Jordan McClain on all the things, and we'll see what we can do. So without further ado, let's get into the match. Right off the bat, before Skrilla even comes out, I have to comment on how incredibly charismatic AC Mack is. I've said publicly before, and I will reiterate it here, that AC Mack is probably, at least in my opinion, one of the most charismatic people in wrestling today on any level. His command of a crowd is impeccable, and in watching him operate, I realized that I would love to see him against Skrilla on the microphone face to face. I don't think I've seen that yet. But that, to me, would be a masterclass in promo work. So the first time, moving on, the first time that I really saw what Skrilla could do, I was commenting on his aggression against, I believe it was Brandon Watley at GIPW last year, maybe the year before last, something like that. But here I am again about to comment on the same thing. I love Skrilla's aggression. I really, truly do. He wrestles, the thing I love about Skrilla so much is that he wrestles like a man with a plan. He wrestles like a man who has something to prove. And in a world where it's so easy, right, to see wrestlers get in the ring and just phone it in, I'm just here for my raid or whatever the case is, I don't really care to actually be here. In a world of that, seeing Skrilla's aggression, his consistent aggression, is always something beautiful to see. It's one of my favorite things about watching him wrestle. Moving on, both of these wrestlers are fantastic with their fundamentals. The both of them. the absolute basics of pro wrestling when you get into the ring look smooth as butter with them. The striking, the selling, their crowd work, you know, the way that they interact with the crowd, they both make it look so easy and so effortless. It's astounding. I think the world of these two. I'm not even gonna lie to you. Furthermore, I loved the heel and face dynamics in this match as well. You know, AC Mack isn't typically a fan favorite. I've been seeing it more here recently, but typically he is a heel, given his natural ability to just make you hate him. But Skrilla also has that same presence about himself. And that's what I think made this match work so well, is that these two are so evenly yoked. They're both great in the fundamentals. They're both charismatic. They both have this natural commanding presence about them. Something that not a lot of wrestlers have. Something that I personally don't think can necessarily be taught. It's that thing of it, right? When everybody says somebody has it, it's that thing. Whatever it is, they have it. And it comes across well in this particular match. So, in retrospect, with Skrilla also having that kind of presence about him, I guess it makes it easy to sell AC Mack as a face, because it wasn't a hard sell. I can tell you that. The crowd was 100% behind AC Mack and totally against Skrilla. So I think that has a lot to do with storytelling, which I'm about to talk about in this particular match. But overall, storytelling from whoever does creative at IWE, they've done a great job of building both of these wrestlers to be where they be in order to be where they be, to be where they are, in order to culminate with this particular match. And speaking of storytelling, something else that I loved about this match, in case you couldn't tell, I love this match overall, but something else that I really loved about this match is to watch these men actually fight for the win. This match was not one-sided. There was no clear-cut winner throughout the match, like, oh, you could tell that AC Mack was gonna win, or, you know, Skrilla was gonna win. You could not tell that. And I love that. I absolutely love that about this match as well. The storytelling made you believe that either of these men could win at any given moment. Either of these men were one move away from getting the dub. And that makes, to me, the greatest matches and the greatest moments in my book. Those are the matches that you really remember, the ones where there aren't a clear-cut winner. I love seeing competitors who actually go through the struggles of wrestling with someone who is equally yoked to them. These two men sew that beautifully. And so finally we get to the end of our match. After some shenanigans, some distractions, some chicanery, some foolery, if you will, AC Mack pulls out the victory after hitting the Mack 10, leaving Skrilla in the ring all shook up like Elvis Presley. After a few moments, though, we get a brawl between Owen Knight and Skrilla in the ring, which ends up setting up for a big match between them at IWE on March the 12th. So make sure you're following IWE and be looking out for that match announcement, because it's coming. And I'm pretty excited to see that match as well. Y'all know I think the world of Owen as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Skrilla versus Owen Knight. And that caps off the match of the week, ladies and gentlemen. Make sure you go and watch AC Mack versus Skrilla the Great. Again, it's on Skrilla's YouTube page. I'm sure if you just type in Skrilla the Great versus AC Mack into YouTube, it'll come up. But yeah, make sure y'all go give it a like. Watch that whole thing all the way through, because really, given the circumstances, you know, with there being no middle rope, I think that these two still made what could have been a horrible match given the environmental circumstances, they made it work. They did what they needed to do. I'm sure that they adjusted things possibly before, possibly on the fly, but either way, they made it look great. And we got a good match out. We got a good match out of it. So, yeah, man, y'all go check that out. And again, that does it for the match of the week. That's it and that's all. That's all I got for y'all. Thank you so much for tuning into the show. I love you for tuning into the show. You could have listened to anybody right now, but you decided to listen to me. And let me tell you, that makes me happy. Make sure you're following me on all social media at Mr. Jordan McClain. Make sure you're sending in some discussion topics or some matches that you would like for me to review here on the show. Thank you. Thank you again for helping me live my dream. I love you guys so much. I'm out.